Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Open Science Radio. And this time again, we're not alone, but we're joined by guests that we invited to share some insights about their initiative. And today with us is Anne-Loa Boulestex. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. And Felix Schönbrot.
Hello.
Hi. We invited you to... because you're, I'd say, two of the many forces behind the newly founded Open Science Center at the Ludwig Maximilians Universität in Munich. And since that is something that we actually never encountered in any German university before, we definitely wanted to take the opportunity and talk to you about what's the reasoning behind it, how did actually the funding process look like, what's your aim, what are the specific activities, and probably a lot of smaller topics all around this institution. But before we actually dive into the topic, maybe we could take some time and introduce yourself. Maybe you want to start, Anne-Loa.
Hello, so my name is Anne-Loa Boulestex. I am a professor of biometry in molecular medicine at the Faculty of Medicine at the Ludwig Maximilian Universität München. I studied mathematics and did my PhD in statistics. And well, now I'm a professor of biometry.
And how did you, or could you shortly describe how you actually found your way into this whole open science universe?
Well, actually, at the beginning, I was a methodological researcher. That is, I used to develop new methods, new statistical methods to analyze biological data. That was my focus, also in my PhD. And then I started to cooperate with medical doctors to analyze their data, well, with practical research questions. And then I realized that some things went wrong in research practice. And I realized that we have to care much more about good practice issues when analyzing data, when comparing methods. And that's how I came to the topic of open science, actually. Through the practice, I wondered how we could improve our research practice. And then I started a few research projects, a few critical research projects on how to improve these things that I was somehow missing in the projects I did. And that's how I came to open science, actually, through research, through our own research projects on good practice issues, on open science issues.
Mm-hmm. I guess we probably touch upon quite a bit of these subjects or related subjects to throughout our conversation. But before we come to Felix and his short introduction, maybe also let me welcome Konrad.
Hello, guys.
Sorry, I totally forgot about that.
No. The guests are the most important people here.
Don't worry. Right, but of course, you're the reliable force behind the Open Science Radio. So, Felix, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a psychologist also at LMU Munich. I work at the Chair of Psychological Methods, doing statistics and also some bit about motivation and emotion in couple relationships. So that's my substantive research project at the moment. Yeah, concerning open science, you asked how we came to the topic. I think my personal entry point was around 6 or 7 years ago, where a quite major crisis took place in psychology, which is now known as the replication crisis. We had a very famous paper in one of our best journals where a guy did research where he claimed that we are able to predict the future, which contradicts all major physicists' theories. but it was published in one of our best journals. And it made... Some structural thing obvious that that if we apply the rules of our research as we did before, so the rules of seemingly good practice, well, that we could publish nearly anything. And then, well, the whole replication crisis came out. We had some big replication projects showing that a lot of stuff could not be replicated. And yeah, over the years, this this was also some sort of a personal crisis for me. So we my trust in the research was really diminished. And I thought, this is not the way I wanted to research. This is not the reason why I wanted to be a researcher. And yeah, I wanted to do something about it. And yeah, that was my way to open science.
Mm. You're also the current and the first managing director of the Open Science Center. So maybe we stick with you for the beginning. Could you give us a short overview of how the whole idea of founding something like an Open Science Center took shape and what the initial process steps would have been?
Yeah, so the first step was actually a tweet on Twitter from some guys from, I think, Cambridge. They tweeted some years ago that they have an open science initiative at their university. And I think that was the starting point for us to say, okay, we want such an initiative at the local department of psychology as a first step. And in July 2015, we founded this department open science committee. And it's still working, so it's a very active group. Nice people ranging from PhD students to professors are in this group. And at some point, we had the wish to make it a bit bigger and a bit more interdisciplinary. At the Open Science Barcamp, at the Open Science Conference, I really liked it to have this interdisciplinary dialogue and to see that other disciplines have, well, quite more or less the same problems, but have different solutions to it or different perspectives. And this was the starting point to generate the idea to make it on the university level and not only at the department level.
Mm. Could you briefly touch upon what the department related committee for open science was and what the general idea was?
So the idea was so the committee has four major tasks. One of them is simply to communicate what is happening in the open science community, to communicate that into the department. So, for example, that some journals in our field now require open data. This is some knowledge that you have to know, because if you plan your research, you have to plan that you can make your data open, at least in psychology. So if you work with humans, this open data must go into the informed consent that you give at the beginning of the experiment. So there's some knowledge from the open science community that should go into the department. And this is one of the tasks of the committee. Another task is to organize workshops and talks. So we want to educate the researchers here at our department about, for example, how do you make a good pre-registration, or what do you have to take care of if you release a data set with data pertaining to humans. So education and workshops is the second task. Furthermore, we want to develop recommendations. For example, one of the things we did, we also had one episode in the Open Science Radio about it. We had a professorship job announcement where we added a paragraph about an open science statement. So all applicants were supposed to write a short statement about how they pursued the goals of open science and how they plan to pursue it in the future. And this was part of the committee's work, to read through all these paragraphs and take them into account. So developing these suggestions how to foster open science at the department is also one of the goals of the committee.
Mm. And as I assume that in all of these goals, the committee is quite similar to what the Open Science Center has at its heart.
Yes. So the goals and the mission are quite similar. That's correct. The difference is that the bigger center now is interdisciplinary. So we have at the moment 25 members from 10 different disciplines. And the disciplines are ranging from sociology, computer science, statistics, medicine. A lot of people from the medical faculty are here. We have geographers, geneticists, psychologists, what else? Communication science.
Which is interesting because all of these domains, I would say, have their kind of their own standing or status within how far they've actually come within adapting to open science practices. Right. So if we look at something like communication science and I don't know, bioinformatics as a comparison, both are really different when it comes to how far and what kind of practices they have adopted from the open science domain.
Yeah, indeed. So that was really one of the most interesting things to learn, how far they are in different parts and maybe not in some other parts. So for example, we have some guys from economics, and they already have a really elaborated system for doing reproducible analyses with sensible data. So where you do not access the raw data, but you can send some analysis scripts to some center and they do the analysis, you get the results. And they really have a good system for that. On the other hand, some people from the medical faculty, they have really good ideas about open data or how to make data more or less open to the scientific community while still taking care of the privacy of the participants.
Mm. Let's talk about it more from a structural or formal point of view. Now the Open Science Center is strictly kind of more or less bound to the university itself. Is it actually, what kind of part is it within the university? Where is it connected or where is it actually embedded in?
Yeah, that's a good question. So basically we are a working group. So we are just a bunch of people who like to work on the same topic. And the formal state of being a center of the university, well, what is it actually? So the university, the LMU has several centers. It has a center for nanoscience and a center for ethics and so on. So it's an official center of the LMU. So the president acknowledged the status, the formal status of the center. But it's still somewhat independent in a way that we are a working group of people interested working on the same topic.
Mm. So, however, you have become a formal part of the university, and thus you probably have to have something like a statute and all of the acting people, like a managing director, probably a scientific or advisory board or something. How did you form all these entities?
How did we do it? We had a first meeting. So we first wrote an email to a lot of people just asking for, okay, let's meet and think about founding such an open science center. And the response was quite overwhelming. It was a much larger response than I expected. So we had the first meeting about 1 year ago, and I think around 20 people were there, which was much more than I expected.
Mm.
And it was quite soon clear that we want to found such a center. So the first meeting was just really to see whether there's enough interest at all to do it. But it was clear that it was a lot of interest. And then we decided to found the center and we looked for more members. And then we approached the president of the university and asked, well, what are the formal steps to create such a center?
And what was the initial feedback that you got? I mean, from the president, because there's hardly any kind of entity within the university world that is higher ranked than the president of the university, right?
Yeah, maybe it was not directly the president, but someone from the university steering committee.
Yeah.
I think the initial feedback was they were interested, but they had some waiting. They wanted to wait what happens. So I think they look at us and see, okay, let's see what they do, how they perform, and let them start doing something, and then we will see.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you as a group and as a working group, as you said earlier, and as a center, as an entity of the university, can actually bring to the table when it comes to services. We already heard that education, the education of the members of this Open Science Center is probably one important part. But let's focus on the other parts. And I guess you have two main ones in mind.
Yeah, so we have three major goals in the center. As you said, the first one is education. The second one we would call meta science, which is research about research. I think Anne-Laure can say a bit more about that. And the third part will be to look at the incentive structures and the policies and trying to change them.
Yeah, about meta science, I could tell a little bit what we are working on. So as Felix said, meta science is science on science. We also talk of meta research, research on research, on research strategies, on research practice, on good practice issues. And the nice thing about the Open Science Center is that we are a group of people from very different disciplines. And we actually just started a common project within the Open Science Center involving several members of the Open Science Center, but from completely different fields, like medicine, psychology, and economics. And together we try to, find common definitions of the problems occurring in relation to scientific practice, in relation to open science. So we find a common language, which is actually a major challenge for people coming from different fields. And then starting from this common language, we will try to find common solutions. I mean, all disciplines have more or less the same problems, or at least strongly related problems. So our philosophy is that we can learn from each other when developing solutions. Each field has more or less developed or already developed some solutions or some partial solutions. And our goal is to create a synergy between all these fields and to learn from each other through interdisciplinary work. And the Open Science Center is just the optimal context to do such interdisciplinary research projects on scientific practice.
Mm. And when you speak about a project, how do I have to imagine this? Is this people loosely, in air quotes, working together on a specific research question, as you elaborated on, or is it actually something that is a formal project? So it has a project team, it has a project funding, possibly. How's this organized?
Well, at the moment, we are at the very beginning of the project, so we are more in a brainstorming phase. So it's a little bit difficult to give very concrete answers to your question. But let me say that, as far as I am concerned, I have conducted some research projects on meta science on my own. I mean, with my own working group at the medical faculty, and for these projects, there is already some funding, at least partially. So there are PhD students funding. So there is an infrastructure. Now, as far as the interdisciplinary part is concerned, I mean, the part involving partners from the Open Science Center from completely different fields, this is really being currently built. So we are just in the starting phase. And currently we still don't have any funding, and we are a little bit, looking for common ideas and common strategies. And we don't know yet really where we are going, because this is something actually quite new. I mean, this strategy, this approach to involve several people from completely different fields. For example, we will have to answer questions like, where are we going to publish our study? Because, if it's a study about psychology, economics, and medicine, and we have common concepts, common definitions, but this is neither really medicine, nor really psychology, nor really economics. And that's pretty difficult to develop a research strategy and publication strategy for such projects. So we will face a number of challenges, but I think that that's precisely what makes it exciting to work on such issues, because we're really doing something new. And so there is a lot to do on extremely important topics. Like, for example, we are thinking about topics like how do researchers deal with the multiplicity of possible analysis strategies that are possible to analyze their data. So this is basically something that many people have in many different fields. And we are examining these problems jointly and trying to find joint solutions or to look at which solutions have been found in other fields. That's what we are doing within this research project that is currently being started.
And I think it's a very clever way to actually include also meta science, especially if you have such a variety of members coming from various domains, because not only the LMU itself will be looking upon what the Open Science Center does and how it develops, but also the Open Science community. And probably also the academic actors from other universities will look at this entity and how it, what it does and how it starts and how you'll get your tires down on the road and how you accelerate all this. And probably by looking into some meta research questions, you also come up with your very own arguments and argumentative basis that you can use in order to prove your approach.
Yeah, that's true. So, and also I think it makes clear that we are centered at a university, so we do not just want to provide services and like workshops and education. So this is very important and fine, but I think it's also good for a university center to do research on the topic which it is about.
I think your center has quite an important mission, by the way, because many people looking at especially Munich as a very strong location for science, and having such a dedicated center is really a good sign for others to go in the same direction. So I can really welcome this, and I can also understand that you are struggling here. On the other hand, because you are basically the first ones regarding this, have you already tried to connect to other universities with this, or is this too early? Because you first have to solve this for yourself, and then maybe have some outreach to other universities that would like to maybe follow you.
So we have on the disciplinary level in psychology, there's a network of open science initiatives at German-speaking universities in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. And I think it's already at the moment should be around 12 initiatives, which work on the department level or on the institute level. And we are connected in a network. So these are like the founding core of people who might bring it on a higher level at their university. And we are also closely connected to the Quest Center at the BIH in Berlin, which has been founded by Ulrich Dirnagel. So that's also really a great open science center. And we are closely connected to them. And it certainly helps to have a big name university to have such a center to make an argument at your own location. So when I say, look at the Charité Berlin, they already have that and they already do that. It really makes it easier to bring your argument to the people.
By the way, I did exactly this already in several talks. I could always say, here, look at Munich. They have this initiative, and this is how it should be done everywhere. And this is absolutely a very important signal to all the at least German universities, maybe even on a European or international level. So this is a really great project that you're driving. And you also have already kind of a toolbox, as you call it, right, that you try to compile together. Maybe let's talk about this. What is this toolbox?
Yeah, the toolbox is a sort of starting point for people who want to get into the topic. So the toolbox, it has been compiled by a really great student, by Lutz Heil. He made a practicum at the Open Science Center. And one of the key parts of his internship was to compile this toolbox. And in fact, we didn't invent really something new. So there are so many great tutorials and workshops lies and so on out there, many of them lying on the Open Science framework. And the aim of the toolbox is more like a reader's digest to distill the most accessible and most useful resources to get started. And I think the main thing, also one of the main missions of the center, is to bridge the intention-action gap. So if we ask researchers about their values and norms, it's quite clear that really most of us value open science and embrace open science, but putting it into action is the difficult step. And well, bridging this step by providing tools, providing infrastructures and so on, I think is an important part.
You also mentioned already this professorship job advertisement that you put together. And I think this is really one, I would even call it game changer, right? Because if you go to that point where people are focusing on quite heavily, right, getting professorship, and you make here the clear statement, okay, we appreciate open science. What did you do for this? And how are you intending to do this if you get this position? You are really forcing people to think about this and, well, also, yeah, give a good way to people who did it before. How did you get to this? Because this is, I think, something that other people would like to do, but it's I never thought about doing this directly. This is really a brilliant approach. But how did you get to this point that you can do that? Who did you have to ask? Where was the final person who wrote this and pushed the button and submitted that?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of some lucky circumstances. We had an open professorship position in social psychology. And in 2015, there was a huge replication project within psychology. So a big team of, I think, 270 researchers worldwide, they replicated 100 studies. And the replication rate, depending on how you compute it, was around 36%. So two-thirds could not be replicated. And a lot of critic was focused on social psychology as a subfield of psychology. And exactly in this situation, we had this open position for social psychology, and it was quite a big chair of psychology, so it was a prestigious chair. And the Open Science Committee, we made this suggestion to add this statement to the advertisement of the position. And I think another lucky circumstance was that the current director of our department, Markus Bühne, he's really in favor of open science, and he really pushed that. So he said, let's include that. And when he said that, and two or three people in the steering committee of our department, they said, yes, let's do that. And then we did it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you also mentioned once that this is even now not only used for, or it was not used a single time now, but it will be also used and is used for other advertisements like this as well, right?
Right. So we have used the same paragraph for all professorship advertisements since then. And a really nice step of my department will be that very soon we will explicitly say that we will always include it. So it will be soon an explicit policy of the department to have this requirement.
That's really great. What are the main suggestions if you would have to recommend something for other people who would like to start a similar initiative or a similar center like you did? What would be the initial steps and people to contact and yeah, the procedures that need to be done in order to compile such a center? What would be your recommendations regarding that?
Yeah, good question. So I think everything we did was bottom up. So I think everything started with a small group of people sitting together in for lunch or for a cafe and talking about the stuff. And then we said, okay, let's make this informal working group. And then it got more and more formal. So from the informal working group, we found that the department's committee, and we tried to pull in as many people as possible. So the committee was not a close group of elected people, like three or five elected people, but it's open for everybody. So the committee formally, I think, has 40 or 50 members. So of course, not everybody is there at every meeting, but it's easier this way to spread the word to different working groups, to different levels.
And what are mainly the main challenges that you're facing there?
I think we had a lucky situation here in Munich because we had not really strong opponents to the approach. I heard from other universities where there are strong opponents on a high level. I think in these cases it's good to do it bottom up and to say, okay, this is the way I want to do science. Maybe this is the way our working group wants to do science. We do not impose it on others, so we do not say others how they have to do research because, well, this creates some reactance from others. Simply say, okay, that's how we do it, and we say it explicitly. This is the way we do research, and if you want to do a PhD in our working group, well, this is the way we do it. And just hope that it catches fire and the others want to do it the same way at some point. And you need a critical mass.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very important point that you mentioned, Felix, when saying that we do not tell people how to do research. Because one of the challenges related to the Open Science Center is that we all have very different cultures where the word open or open science or good practice means something different. And the way to handle data is also very different from one field to another. So it would be very difficult to go to the people and say, okay, we want to do it that way, we have to do it that way, and you also have to, then we would have opponents, obviously. And I think that's something very important to take into account, that we have to be open for the different scientific cultures and the different ways people have to understand the concept of open science. There should be place for everybody. As an example, in the medical field where I work, data confidentiality is something very critical because you cannot just make critical patient data available in the internet. So you have to take data privacy issues into account. And so the concept of open science will be different in this context than in another context where you are not working with private clinical data of patients. So I think that's one of the challenges. And it may be the reason why we do not have so strong opponents, because the concept of open science is also very open to different cultures.
I think that relates back to what you and your colleagues and a lot of other people from the open science community are saying for a couple of years now, that open science should be the standard, but it doesn't mean that you can't deviate from this for very good reasons. And the more transparent you actually do deviate and state your reasons why you don't want to have your data open, or why you don't want to have specific data open, or not entirely open but under certain circumstances, or whatever the situation is, it does make it even better and more understandable. And of course, especially in very privately or personal related data, we will probably see a lot of deviations from the openness of data, but we can still address certain aspects of how data should be configured, what kind of metadata we would expect, and what are the most common denominator that we can agree upon to make even research available that has to take place under certain circumstances, like privacy concerns.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would also be wrong to say, we have privacy issues in our field, so we don't want to participate. I mean, there are also some solutions to somehow circumvent the problems. And I think the Open Science Center is especially useful with respect to finding solutions on how to address the issues in the specific context, because we can, again, learn from each other.
Yeah.
So what do you think if you project now your work into, let's say, 5 years ahead, where are you standing, or what are your wishes that you achieve in that time?
I think that mostly depends on our funding situation. So we have very ambitious goals, but this needs, of course, manpower and also some money. At the moment, our funding is zero, so we are all devoting some part of our working time to the center. But we, of course, aim to get some more funding to be able to do more. So I think that really depends on how much funding we can get in the next years. So I think the minimal goal that we should achieve in the next years is to set up a good curriculum for open science. We have a close cooperation with the Graduate Center at the LMU, and this is a central service provider for all PhD programs. And they have access to around 6,000 PhD students. And it really would be great if we could get some modules of open science in the core curriculum for these PhD students. Maybe not all of them, but maybe a lot of them. That would be one goal. So on the other hand, if we get a lot of funding, well, then we can start really great meta science research projects. We can develop more course material, and I think that these are the main differences. So in the projection to the future, mm-hmm. And of course, what we hope is that that we can broaden our network. So at the moment, we have these 25 members from different departments, and we hope that they can spread the word into their departments and talk to people, and maybe we can get more members and get maybe multiplicators in each department who can take our material and teach the stuff and make a talk maybe, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Do you have kind of an overview of the let's say percentage impact that you have already? So a list of all institutions and where you have a foot already in the door and where not? Like, it's hard to do in a large institution like the LMU.
It's a bit hard to do. So the LMU has 18 faculties, and we have members from 9 of them.
Mm.
So, but there are some faculties. So there's religion, Catholic and Protestant religion faculty. I'm not sure if they have an interest in joining the Open Science Center.
Yep.
Yeah, we try to approach the philosophers because we have a philosophy of science would be a great fit to the Open Science Center, I think. But maybe we approached the wrong ones because we got an email from them and they said, well, philosophy is not an empirical science and therefore it does not apply to us.
Yeah, but I think they could contribute to the principles. That's
yes, of
the
course.
Point. But but I think we shouldn't give up, and there will probably be some successes in the future with the philosophers.
Yeah. And in general, the Open Science Center itself is open for not only LMU members of the university itself, right?
Yeah. So the center is. Well, it is closely tied to the LMU, so that all the ordinary members, they must be researchers from the LMU. So there's one member category, which are the associate members. They can be from different institutions, mm-hmm. But so the standard member of the center probably is from the LMU itself.
And have you also tried to infiltrate the TUM, so the other large university in Munich?
The TU Munich? We have contact to them, but we still work on the infiltration, yeah.
Okay. I think you have your official start rather soon, right? Maybe you can talk a little bit about this. What's the plan for that?
Yeah, so the official establishment of the center was in November last year, and on May 8th, so Tuesday next week, we'll have the opening ceremony which is like the official start maybe. And we have the vice president giving some greetings. Then we will present the Open Science Center, talk a little bit about what is open science and why it is important. And then we're happy to have a keynote speaker, Professor Klaus Tochtermann, who's well known in the open science community. And he will talk about open science at the university level, the national level, and the European level.
Okay. Just a general question, even though the Open Science Center is tightly bound to the LMU itself, what would you expect or what would help for you as the people mainly driving this initiative? Any input from the open science community or anything that you would like to hear from somebody or anybody that you would entirely get into contact with?
I have to think about that. Maybe Anne-Laure, do you have an idea?
Yeah, well, I think all these open science initiatives everywhere in Europe or elsewhere are somehow cross-fertilizing each other. So the fact that we can exchange with the other centers and get their ideas and know what they do is already extremely important. So I think it's very important to keep in touch with them for just exchanging new ideas, especially in this phase of the initiative where our group is still in its infancy, so we can definitely learn much from each other and perhaps also inspire other future centers. So communication between these initiatives is extremely important. And of course, also from the funding agencies, I think obviously we can also receive much from them in terms of funding if they welcome our initiative, and that's obviously also a major factor of success in the next years.
Mm. Yeah, I also think that this networking, which Anne-Laure talked about, is really important to gain more impact on the political level. So, for example, we have this network of open science initiatives within psychology, and it's really an informal network. So it's more or less a mailing list and a website on the OSF. But we had a roundtable discussion at the German Research Foundation about open data in psychology, and they invited members of this network of open science initiatives. And this was really great because we had a voice in this roundtable discussion. And I think if we have more and more such initiatives at the university level, it's much easier to talk to funders. Maybe funders can change some of their guidelines towards open science, to foster open science. And the more initiatives there are and the better their network is, well, the more we can do.
Hmm. I guess that's probably where we would fit in as well, to spread the word and communicate what's going on, whatever the initiative is, in this specific case, the Open Science Center at the LMU, to just get the idea out there, maybe get some learnings out there over the time. What can people learn from all the actions that you have undertaken? How can these be adapted to their specific cases? And that's probably also done on conferences. And maybe we already hear something from you, some learnings, some more insights about the first couple of months of official existence at the next Barcamp Open Science or similar events.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, would like to.
Okay, have we missed anything that you would like to add?
I don't think so.
No, I also don't think so.
Great. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure we can sit together in a year or two and talk about what you have achieved and your recommendations to the community. What were your hurdles and what were your challenges and how you solved all them and why University of Munich is now completely open science. No?
Let's see. Yeah.
Hopefully. No. But I really appreciate that you do this great work, and I'm really looking forward to discuss this with you in the near future. All right. So thanks again for your time and for being with us. And I guess you will get also some feedback from maybe some listeners here, and hopefully this helps a little bit to spread it also inside of in Munich, Germany, and also internationally. Okay,
thank
bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.